Well, have you found Matthew tonight? I hope you have, and I've tried to make it very easy. I thought Matthew chapter 1 would be a good place to go tonight. And I want to begin reading in verse number 21. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Now the verse that I've just read in verse 23 is actually a quotation of the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, where this is what it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now I'd like to point out to you in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to encourage you to do this. Follow the sign. Isaiah gives this sign by prophecy in Isaiah 7. The prophecy is repeated in Matthew chapter 1. And tonight I want to beg you to follow the sign that God marked out many years ago. You know, every day of our lives, we follow signs, or at least we should. You can't help but see signs. You see them in buildings. You see them on streets. When you walk through buildings, you find signs. There's a very important sign in most buildings that I've been in. It's called the restroom sign. I hope you pay attention to that sign. I remember years ago, I was in high school, I worked at McDonald's, and the McDonald's that I worked in or worked at, the men's room was on the right and the ladies' room was on the left. And I remember going into another McDonald's, and instead of looking at the sign, I just did what I had always taught. But I had no idea that McDonald's did not have a uniform direction of which side was which bathroom. I think they switch it on purpose for embarrassing moments like this. And I paid no attention to the sign. I marched in, and I very quickly discovered I was in the wrong place, and people let me know. I remember being in New York City driving for the first time. I probably shouldn't tell this, Brother Scoville, but it was in a college van. You know, where I was raised, we didn't have one-way streets. We had dirt roads. We had beaten paths, but no one-way streets. And I still remember as I was driving on one of the streets in New York City, one of many, I remember turning left, but I failed to see the sign that said one way to the right. I remember driving down that street, and I was wondering, why are all of the car's headlights facing me? And suffice it to say, that day I learned that it's a good idea to pay attention to signs. Now, I hope tonight you understand a little bit. It's important to pay attention to signs. However, the greatest sign that you'll ever follow is a sign from God. Amen. Do you understand that when God gives a sign, that sign is true? That sign will always guide you aright. That sign will always point you in the right direction. And that is exactly what God gives in Isaiah chapter 7 and in Matthew chapter 1. God gives a sign, listen to me, not only for King Ahab in the Old Testament, not only for those in the New, but my friend, God has given us that sign tonight. There are many people that drive by and they see a manger, but yet they fail to understand the sign. And so I want you to listen to me for the next few moments. And I want to beg you with every moment to follow the sign that points to the Son of God, follow the sign that points to forgiveness, follow the sign that points to mercy, follow the sign that points to eternal life. Now, as we begin tonight, I first of all want you to see its prophecy. When you read in Matthew chapter 1, it's very clear. People say, I can't understand a lot about the Bible. You know, if you read it slowly, you'll understand a little bit. And in verse 22, it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, or of the Lord, by the prophet, saying. This is a quotation. The next verse that we read, verse 23, is a prophecy. Many times we hear, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. But a lot of people don't know the history behind that quote, the actual context in which it came. The context in which it came, there were not angels on the hilltops proclaiming it to shepherds back in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. As a matter of fact, this prophecy is first, it's given to Isaiah and it's given to a king by the name of King Ahab, who was a wicked king of Judah. Ahab was a very wicked king in God, as he was accustomed to do in the Old Testament. He said, I want you to go and I want you to talk to that wicked king. And I want you to deliver him a message. When you read in the Old Testament, you see God had a knack for telling prophets to go tell wicked kings a message or two. Whether it would have been Moses going to Pharaoh, or whether it would have been Elijah going to the wicked king of his day to make some bold proclamations. And so Isaiah goes to King Ahab and he gives him a message. And the message that he's giving him is one that's indicating there will be deliverance and there will be comfort. Ahab was paranoid because here he is fighting against Israel, and Israel has aligned with other people. And he's not quite sure what to do. And God says, I want you to go and I want you to deliver a message to Ahab. So Isaiah goes, he tells a message to Ahab, but Ahab doesn't have enough faith to believe it. Ahab doesn't have enough faith to believe it. And so therefore, Isaiah offers to give him a sign. I'll read it for you. You don't have to turn, but in Isaiah chapter 12, or chapter 7, verse number 12, here's Ahaz's response. Ahaz's response to the prophet Isaiah. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. In the previous verse, the prophet said, hey, ask for a sign by the Lord. Ask it either in depth or in height above. Isaiah said, if you just ask the Lord for a sign, he'll make it obvious. And all of a sudden, the wicked king Ahaz gets very spiritual. I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And Isaiah says to Ahaz, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? He asks Ahaz, do you want a sign to help you to know this is the right way? And Ahaz says, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to tempt God. Isaiah said, are you wearying our God? And you know what God did? God gave him a sign anyway. And that's verse 14 in the prophecy. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. And it's a sign of the coming of our Lord. You know, I believe there's a great parallel between the attitude of King Ahaz and many people in the world today when it comes to this sign that I'm preaching of tonight, and that it is unwanted. Ahaz did not want a sign, and there are many people today that don't want a sign. There are many people that don't want to look to the way that God is pointing. There are many people today that say, you know, that religion stuff, or they say, oh, that stuff about God, I'm just not interested. And they look everywhere else, but they push away the one true sign. But understand tonight, and if you're going to follow that sign, you have to see its prophecy. This is a prophecy that was offered several hundred years ago. People today, they get very intrigued by prophecy. As a matter of fact, I hear people talking about it even now. What do you think's going to happen next with all of this? And they talk about prophecy and they talk about the future. They're very intrigued by it. But I'll tell you, I'm not only intrigued by future prophecy, but I'm also intrigued by fulfilled prophecy. I mean fulfilled prophecy like this. Did you know that long before Jesus Christ hung on the cross in Psalm 22, these words would be written by a psalmist? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You find the words of Jesus found on the pages of the Old Testament. Why fulfilled prophecy? In Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ would die between two thieves. He would make his grave with the wicked. The Bible tells us in that passage that he would be buried in a borrowed tomb. What is that? That's fulfilled prophecy. And what we find in Matthew chapter 1 is a prophecy that has been fulfilled. And not only has it been fulfilled, but ladies and gentlemen, the prophecies found within the pages of this book will be fulfilled. So in following the sign tonight, I want you to see the historical precedence. It's a prophecy from God. It's a prophecy that's been fulfilled. But second of all tonight, I want you to see its power. When the Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive," or "a virgin shall be with child." I like that word, "behold." Carries the idea of look. I remember growing up in the South, and sometimes hearing my grandma, we'd call her Mamaw, or I'd hear my Papaw, and they would say something like this. They'd say, "Looky here." I know there's some of you, you say, "I've never heard that before." Well, you just heard it. You've been baptized into Southern culture. But sometimes they would look at something interesting and they'd say, "Looky here." Whenever I see the word "behold," here Isaiah is saying, "Behold, if there's anything to look at, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." Now, this is of the great significance tonight, and I'll tell you why. Because there are people even in the realm of religion that deny the virgin birth. Whether you realize it or not, there are Bible versions that are infiltrated by liberals that deny the virgin birth. Some that change the idea, instead of "behold, a virgin shall conceive," they say, "behold, a young woman shall conceive." That's not much of a sign, is it? But when a virgin shall conceive, that is a sign. Amen. But you find the verification in the New Testament. Listen, if you ever have any doubt about what the Old Testament says, go to the New Testament and see what God says there. And many times, you know what you find? You'll find something that you've missed or something that you'll clarify. And Matthew chapter 1, without apology, makes it very bold. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." That's supernatural. I may be talking to some of you tonight. You're listening to this message. You say, "I don't believe in the supernatural." I've talked to people. They say, "I don't believe in the supernatural. I only believe in the rational." I feel sorry for somebody in that case, and I'll tell you why. Because if that's the realm that you look at and that's the realm that you live in, every night when you look up in the stars, you're speechless and you can't explain it. Why, every night, instead of looking up at the stars, you ought to hang your head and live in despair. Why? Because it's God Almighty that hung the stars. He knows them all by name. The truth is, your human body is a divine design from God. You don't have to look very far to see the fingerprint of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Yet some people stumble. They say, "Well, you know, a virgin shall conceive." You say, "That is impossible. Humanly speaking, it may be, but with God, all things are possible." And I'll tell you, there have been many people blinded from the cross and many people blinded from salvation because they've leaned under their own understanding. My friend, if you're listening tonight and you say, "I just can't bring myself to believe that a virgin can conceive and bear a son," just take some time and stare at the stars. Just take some time to look at the trees. See them in the fall. See them in the spring. And you ask yourself the question, who made it? Psalm 100 says, we didn't make ourselves. We couldn't make these things. It's a fingerprint of the supernatural. But I'm glad that tonight, I don't just have to look to the trees or look to the stars to see they're supernatural, but if I look in the mirror and see what God has done in my life by His grace alone, listen to me, that was supernatural. God is not a distant God who just touches mere objects. Listen to me, God touches lives. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. What is wrapped up in that power? I'll tell you, because of that power that was manifested, we can experience forgiveness tonight. We don't have to live in guilt. We don't have to live in shame and regret. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You want to talk about something supernatural? I'll tell you what's supernatural is when you have a peace in your heart that no amount of money can purchase. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As if forgiveness and peace are not good enough, listen to me. Eternal life, how does that take place? With the power of God, because a virgin conceived and she bare a son, His name Emmanuel. He hung on a cross. He died for my sins and yours, and He raised again. It's supernatural. Listen to me. Churches and pulpits in America that deny the supernatural are dead. They are hopeless, they are empty, and they lead to despair. But my friend, tonight, by faith, you can embrace God's forgiveness. By faith, you can embrace God's peace. By faith, you can begin your journey of eternal life if you'd embrace the supernatural. So we see, first of all, tonight, we see its prophecy. Number two, we see its power. But the last thing that I want to show you tonight is the person, the sign's person. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, if I might, I'd like to make my case from the Bible that when Jesus Christ came to this sin-cursed earth, He came in flesh. He left heaven's glories, and the Bible, as it puts it, was in the likeness of sinful flesh. God with us. John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You cannot get away from the fact that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Philippians 2 verses 5 through 7, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know why we sing songs about a babe in a manger? Because Jesus Christ willingly and conscientiously left heaven's glory of perfection to come to this sin-cursed earth and be robed in flesh. Colossians 2 and verse 9, for in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Isaiah 9, 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. You tell me any human story where you've heard that somebody has left the splendors of the greatest place man could ever know and choose the filthiest of places to come. That's what Jesus did. I remember going to Florida for the first time years ago. And you know what I learned when I went to Florida? I learned there's a lot of people that live in Florida that weren't raised in Florida. I still remember it was in the midst of a summer I was down there. And there was a guy from Maine, and his language revealed it. I'm not even going to attempt to talk like he did because I will slaughter it. I thought my accent was distinct. And here this man, after he retired, you know what? He decided that he was going to take it easy and he moved to Florida. He enjoyed using his swimming pool in February. That's unheard of in North Carolina. Some of you from up north, you say, we only use our pool like 1 week a year. That's all it is. You know, I know it's hot everywhere. Just sometimes it's a little more pleasant in certain places. There are people that flock to Florida. I've stayed in a number of homes. People, they move to Florida. They say, this is where I want to move. Why? Because of the weather. I love 85 degree weather in February. They say, that's great. But I want to tell you something. When Jesus left heaven, He did not come to a better place. As a matter of fact, He came to a creation that was in the process of rejecting the Creator. The Son of God would leave heaven's glories to eventually hear these words from His own, "We have no king but Caesar." Jesus Christ, full of love and compassion and forgiveness, hearing these words from the people He came to save, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" I'll tell you about that person, God with us. We put God on a cross and we crucified the Son of God. He didn't leave a place that was pleasant to come to one that was more pleasant. He left a perfect place to come to a sin-cursed earth to die for you and to die for me. That's the person that God wants you to see tonight. The Son of God. He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You know, if I asked that man from Maine and Florida, why did you move here? The answer would be pretty obvious. Listen to me. If tonight we stood before Jesus Christ and said, "Jesus, why did you move here?" He would say, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now, if you're a Christian here tonight, you say, "I've heard the gospel over and over again." If nothing else, you can praise God that He was looking for you. But I'm talking to some here tonight. Listen to me. You know everything about Christmas. You can tell the story up one side and down the other, but you've never truly seen the sign. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins." I beg you tonight to follow the sign. I remember in the summer of 1994, I traveled with a college group from Ambassador. We were in different churches every night for 8 weeks. There's a lot of things that I remember about that summer. It was a group of guys that I'll never forget. They'll always hold a special place in my heart. But another thing, not the main thing, but another thing that I remember about that particular summer was we saw two wrecks. I didn't say we were in two wrecks, I said we saw them. One wreck in particular There was a grain truck that took a clover leaf intersection at an interstate too quickly, and when he did, the grain shifted in the trailer and just lifted the truck and just slammed everything to the side. By the time we crossed the median and we ran over, we saw the driver bloodied, laying on his stomach, feeling around, saying, "Where's my Bible? Where's my Bible?" And as he was laying there doing that, we didn't know what to do. We were taken back. It's probably fair to say that one of the reasons that accident happened was because he didn't pay attention to the sign. A sign that reduced him to a specific speed. A sign that said, "Warning, clover leaf." I also remember another time we were in a larger city. You have to understand, being raised from Yadkinville, most things are a larger city. And I still remember we came up upon an intersection and somebody ran through the stoplight and they T-boned a van and put that van on its side. And immediately we ran out there and we saw the lady who was T-boned and she was in there panicking and fretting. I'll still never forget it. Apparently because of the impact of her just trying to keep herself from going into the dash, I still remember how her rings had cut into her fingers because of all that pressure as she was trying to keep herself, and she had sprained her wrist and she was a mess. You know why those accidents happened? Oh, they happened because somebody didn't pay attention to a sign. And you know what? If you don't pay attention to some signs, it's a minor consequence. If you don't pay attention to a bathroom sign, that may give you a little embarrassment. But folks, I want to tell you tonight, if you don't pay attention to the sign that I've shown you this evening, it's the difference between eternal life and the second death. That's what's at stake tonight. When I talk about following the sign, if you ignore Jesus tonight, listen to me, the consequences will be far greater than you could ever imagine. If you ignore the sign that the Son of God has come to die for your sins and He wants to give you peace, He wants to give you forgiveness, and you reject Him tonight, you ignore that sign, listen to me, the results will be eternal if you put Him off. And so I say tonight to every Christian in this room, listen to me, you may be in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, but there's a lot of people that don't understand this sign, and the devil's sure not going to tell them. And if we go through this season and COVID is said more than Jesus by the lips of Christians, we're in trouble. And my friend, if you're here tonight, and you've seen the sign, but you've never truly obeyed it, listen, there's a great invitation that's given to you tonight. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." How does that happen? When you obey the sign that God's put before you tonight. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask Brother Ream here in a moment with the chorale, in a moment, if they would just sing "Just As I Am" without one plea. It's a familiar invitation song. But as they prepare for that, listen, whether you're watching online tonight or whether you're here in this auditorium, listen to me, God's concerned for your soul. Jesus moved to this earth for 33 years. Because He was going to give Himself on the cross to die for your sins and mine. He was seeking that which was lost. I wonder how many in the room tonight, you'd say, "Preacher, I've heard the message tonight. I want you to know there was a time in my life where I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And as I sit here this evening, There's no doubt in my heart. I know that Christ is my Savior. I've trusted Christ. I've seen the sign. I've seen the Son of God through the eye of faith. I've trusted Christ tonight, and I know that my sins are forgiven, and I can give a testimony of that tonight. If you can say that, would you slip your hand up and keep it up just a moment? All right, thank you. You may put them down. For my friends that are watching this evening, listen, that question's just as important for you as anybody in this room. Have you obeyed the sign? I wonder if there'd be some tonight and you'd say, Alton, I've heard this message this evening and I could tell you a lot about Christmas. But tonight I have no peace. Tonight I have no forgiveness. Tonight I can't say that Jesus Christ is my Savior. You'd say, Alton, as I sit here tonight, God's dealing in my heart. I'm either not sure I know that I need to be saved. And God's dealing with me. I want to see the importance of that sign tonight. And you say, Alton, would you pray for me this evening? God is dealing in my heart about this matter of Jesus being the sign of forgiveness and peace and eternal life. And you'd say, Alton, I'm either not sure. I know that I'm not saved. Would you please pray for me tonight? If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Just slip it up high enough for me to see it. Would you do that? Just slip it up high enough for me to see it as I look around. Just last week, I was preaching in New Mexico, and on Monday night, there was an 80-year-old Vietnam vet was in that service on a Monday night, and he realized that his life had been preserved through the perhaps some of the worst warhood memories that a man could know in our lifetime, and yet he had no peace and he had no forgiveness. And that night, he realized what Jesus Christ did for him. That night he trusted Christ. Listen, my friend, if you're watching tonight, I want to encourage you, even right where you're at, in your living room or wherever you are. Did you know that tonight you can see that sign, Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you, born of a virgin, died on the cross, that you could be saved? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And tonight, you can call on the Lord.